Before we go back into the practice that we began this morning before breakfast, the practice, the shamatha practice of observing our own mind, just a couple of comments. In particular, I'd just like to comment a little bit about the eyes. You know, we said to have the eyes open in this practice, to vacantly rest your gaze in the space in front of you, just to make a few comments on that point. And to begin the comments, I'd like to quote or read from a book called Attention Revolution by Alan Wallace. It's a very good book on shamatha practice, and he's commenting here about the procedure of having the eyes open, particularly in this shamatha practice of observing the mind. And he says the following. And he begins by quoting a text from the, I think, Dzogchen tradition, which is similar to the Mahamudra tradition, which says, "Let your gaze be vacant." And then he comments on that. He says, "In this practice, it is important that your eyes are open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you. If you have not meditated with your eyes open, you may find this uncomfortable. But I encourage you to get used to it. Blink as often as you like and don't strain your eyes in any way." So this is very important. Sometimes when people do this practice with the eyes open, they sort of like this. And then, of course, they have a lot of strain in their eyes. Their eyes get very dry and irritable. So don't do that. Just keep them relaxed and blink as often as you normally do. Don't try and keep them open, force them open. Let them be as relaxed as if you were daydreaming with your eyes open. By leaving the eyes open while focusing your attention on the domain of mental events, the artificial barrier between inner and outer begins to dissolve. Especially in our materialist society, we have gotten used to the idea that our thoughts and all other mental events are inside our heads. But this has never been demonstrated scientifically. All that is known in this regard is that mental events are correlated with neural events. But that doesn't necessarily mean they are located in the same place. Even without this materialist assumption that the mind is nothing more than a function of the brain, we naturally have a sense that we are looking out on the world from behind our eyes. But this sense of an independent subject or ego inside the head is an illusion. There is no scientific support for such a belief. And when it is inspected through rigorous contemplative inquiry, this autonomous thinker and observer inside the head is nowhere to be found. In this practice, by leaving your eyes open, but by directing your attention to the mind, this conceptually superimposed demarcation between inner and outer begins to erode. You begin to recognize that your thoughts are not occurring in here in your head, nor are they occurring out there in space. This practice challenges the existence of an absolutely objective space of the physical senses that is absolutely separate from the subjective space of the mind. You are now on the path to realizing the meaning of non-duality. So, as we mentioned, in this practice of observing the mind, it's very much the recommendation to have the eyes open. And as he mentioned, is if you're not used to doing that, if you're normally used to meditating with your eyes closed, and you try to do that, you're probably going to find it very uncomfortable. I found that to be the case. Many years ago, when I first started meditating, I was very agitated. And I found that even having them slightly open, I got very agitated. So I had to have them closed, which helped the agitation. But then, of course, after some time, I realized I was going into dullness. And then when I was introduced to this practice some years ago, then I started to meditate, as recommended, with the eyes open. And the first few times I did it, I really found it very uncomfortable. But then very quickly, I got used to it. And as he mentioned, I think there are a lot of benefits then with having the eyes open in this practice. The main one, of course, is with the eyes open, this sense of me in here and world out there is not as strong. Now, of course, if we have our eyes closed, we really do have a sense there's a me in here and a world out there. With the eyes open, this strong sense of subject-object duality starts to dissolve. So this is already a good preparation for the Vipassana practice, because that's what we're actually coming to realize in Vipassana practice. There is no subject-object duality. So this is helping to move us in that direction. So that's one point. Another point, of course, is with the eyes open, we're not actually really looking at anything in particular. Now, we're just resting the eyes in the space in front of us. What we don't want to do, of course, is strain to keep them open and not blink. But also, what we don't want to do is to deliberately unfocus them. You know, sometimes people feel they have to deliberately unfocus them. And then, of course, we're straining our eyes to do that. So don't do that. Just rest your gaze in that space in front of you. And you're really not looking at anything. It's a little bit like, as we said earlier, I think, in the earlier meditation, it's like having your eyes open when you're daydreaming. Sometimes now when we're daydreaming with our eyes open, we're not really looking at anything because we're so occupied in our daydream. So it's a bit like that. The eyes open and then occupy your focus on what's going on in your mind. But with the eyes open, of course, even though we're not really looking at anything, the visual gaze is still a little bit engaged. And like the sensations of the breath, the visual gaze, the visual, only happens in the present moment. So by having the eyes open, it helps to lock us into the present moment. Whereas if we have our eyes closed, it's much more easier to drift into the past and the future. So also having the eyes open helps us to remain present in the present moment. Also, of course, with the eyes open, you're letting light in, which is going to be probably very helpful for clarity. With the eyes closed, much more easy to sink into dullness and lethargy and sleepiness. With the eyes open, light coming in, much easier to remain alert and clear. But also, one other great benefit with this in meditation, to have the eyes open, is that it's a very good transition into daily life. If in meditation you're only used to looking at your thoughts with your eyes closed, then of course in daily life normally we're walking around with our eyes open, then it's probably going to be more difficult to observe the mental events in our daily life because we're not used to doing that with our eyes open. Whereas if we're meditating with our eyes open, observing our thoughts, emotions and memories, then it's much easier to transition into daily life, to be able to do that in daily life, because we're already used to observing these things with our eyes open. So another big benefit. So I very much encourage you to have your eyes open in this practice. Now, a couple of tips that can help with that. You don't have to have them fully open. You can have them sort of partially open, your preference. Also, of course, it's probably good as normal to have the head position so your gaze is slightly downward. But that's something you can adjust. If you find that by gazing downward, you're still getting very drowsy, then you can elevate the gaze a bit. So that's something you can adjust. If you find that with your eyes open, you're still getting more agitated, then lower the gaze more. And also, of course, maybe here is not the ideal place to meditate with the eyes open, because maybe there's some people in front of you that are fidgeting and moving and so forth, and then you get attracted by movement. But at home, of course, we can control that. So very much recommended at home, when you're doing this at home, is not have anything in your visual field that moves, like a flickering candle or something moving. Yeah. So have only stillness. And then also what can be helpful is to have it very plain. If you like, have a plain wall in front of you at home, there's nothing to catch your attention. And also at home, of course, you can adjust the lighting. Me, personally, I prefer quite dim, so quite dark. So then you can adjust the lighting if you find that there's too much light, it's sort of too much stimulation, is to adjust the lighting, make it very dark. Even sometimes, what's sometimes recommended is that if you find that you're getting distracted easily visually, you can use they've specially developed these masks called a mind fold, which is like a blindfold, but it's very comfortable and allows you to have your eyes open, but it's completely black. So then you can have your eyes open and then there's nothing pulling your attention. So that could be also a good option if you're in a place where there is a lot of light and movement and so forth, to have one of these, meditate with that. So that's also an option. Another thing we can do while we're here, if you find that with your eyes open, your attention's being pulled because someone's moving or there's something going on outside, then use an anchor. Pick some little spot on the floor in front of you and use that as a little bit of an anchor point. Of course, we're not really directly focusing on it, but have that as a little bit of an anchor, and that will help avoid the eyes constantly moving around. So you could try that as well. So that's a few tips about what to do with the eyes. So that's all I wanted to mention before the meditation. So we're going to do the practice again, 2 20-minute sessions. And then after that, there'll be time for questions about the practice. And then there's also a couple of other things I want to mention about the practice after we do the practice. Okay. So let's do the practice. Actually, maybe for this, we can switch the lights off maybe, so then it's not so bright. Sorry?
I think when people have books beside them, with something written on it, I don't know.
Well, then just focus a little bit to the side the other way, so you can adjust your seating and maybe focus over here. Okay. Of course, we need to be careful not to, that maybe when we're meditating, this case, or maybe there's a lot of noise or something. Of course, we try to set up conditions that are conducive for meditation. But the reality is we'll never find perfect conditions to meditate. So if we're wanting perfect conditions to meditate, we're just going to get frustrated. So of course we set up as best we can, but then whatever happens, if in a particular meditation there is quite a bit of noise, then just go, okay, and then work with that. Because otherwise we're just going to get frustrated. So just bear that in mind, that if some unexpected distraction comes up in the meditation, then not to get frustrated and go, oh, I can't meditate, there's those dog barking again, those neighbours are making a lot of noise, oh, I wish they'd be quiet. And then, of course, we're just going to get frustrated. So then just work with that. So if those sorts of things come up, rather than having aversion to it, work with it. Because actually, one of the things we're doing in meditation is we're trying to overcome distraction. So if there is some noise there, that's going to be actually sort of helpful for us to be able to come back from distractions, to learn how to do that. Because if we're demanding perfect conditions to meditate, then we're not going to get very far in the practice. Okay? So let's do the practice. As always, we begin by preparing the body, settling it into a state of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. And setting the mind into a state of ease and relaxation. Simply allowing the mind to rest in the present moment. Focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. And then allow your eyes to be at least partially open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you, keeping the eyes soft, blinking as often as you need. And now bring your attention to your own mind. And simply observe your own mind and whatever is arising in the mind. Without following thoughts, without trying to get rid of thoughts. Simply observe them as an impartial observer or witness. Observing them arise and pass, without grasping to them, without becoming distracted. you've got caught up in a thought and got carried away, then remember the first thing to do is simply relax. No need to get frustrated. And then release grasping onto that thought. And very gently return to observing the mind without clamping down more forcefully. So relax, release, and return each time you get swept away. If you find yourself constantly getting caught up in your thoughts, then you might like to experiment with labeling or noting to help stabilize the mind. So just give the mental event a name when it arises, such as thought, memory, image, emotion. And that can help you to have some space from that mental event, not so easily get caught up in it. So if you want, you can experiment with labeling or noting. So again, keeping the back nice and straight. And allowing the body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. Allowing the breathing to flow naturally and effortlessly. And allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. In particular, letting go of any expectations or concerns with respect to this meditation. Letting go of all of these things. And resting in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. Again, allow the eyes to be at least partially open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you. And bring your attention to your own mind. Simply observe the space of the mind and whatever mental events are arising in that space. Without following thoughts, without trying to get rid of them. Simply observe them as they arise and pass. without grasping to them, without becoming distracted. If you're not sure what to focus on, or you're simply becoming dull and spaced out, then every now and again, deliberately generate a thought and watch that thought as it arises in your mind, and watch it as it disappears back into the mind. And then keep your attention right where it was and wait for the next thought to appear in that space. are no thoughts arising, simply observe that stillness. If thoughts are arising, observe their movement. If you're becoming bored or frustrated with the practice, observe that boredom or frustration. Whatever is arising in the mind, observe it. just a couple more comments about this practice, and then I'm sure there's some questions people would like to ask. Again, just to read a little bit from more from this Attention Revolution by Alan Wallace. And he calls this practice of observing the mind, the shamatha practice of observing the mind, he calls that settling the mind in its natural state. And so he says the following here. When you first begin the practice of settling the mind in its natural state, you may have difficulty identifying the intangible domain of the mind. Or even if you do settle your awareness there, after some time your attention may become vague, disoriented, or spaced out. If you have difficulty identifying the domain of the mind or sustaining attention there, consciously bring up a thought such as, "What is the mind?" and attend to it. Don't think about this question or try to answer it. Just observe the thought itself, watching it emerge into the field of consciousness and then dissolve back into that space. Once it's gone, keep your focus right where the thought was and see what comes up next. If you slip back into a kind of lax, mindless vacuity, deliberately generate the thought again and observe it with bare attention. When you become familiar with this practice, you will no longer need to generate such a thought to crystallize your awareness and locate your attention. That will happen by itself as thoughts arise and pass of their own accord. The practice of attending to the space of the mind and whatever events arise there is like taking a naturalist's field trip into the wilderness of your mind. When you first embark on such an inward journey, you may perceive very little. But as you grow more accustomed to the practice, you will begin to identify an increasing quantity and range of mental phenomena. Some of them are discrete, like thoughts and images, while others are nebulous, like emotions and moods. This practice provides you with experiential access to a domain that cannot be observed with any of the instruments of modern science or technology. The most they can do is detect the neural and behavioral correlates of the phenomena you are observing directly. You have become a naturalist of the mind, and a whole new world is opening up to you that for most people remains largely unconscious. In this practice, the locus of awareness gradually descends from the superficial level of coarse mental activity that is immediately accessible through introspection, down into the inner recesses of your mind that are normally below the threshold of consciousness. You discover in this training that the border between conscious and unconscious mental events shifts in relation to the degrees of relaxation, stability, and clarity of attention. Especially when you engage in this practice for many hours each day, for days, weeks, or months at a time, you dredge the depths of your own psyche. In doing so, you remember long-forgotten experiences, both pleasant and unpleasant, and a wide range of desires and emotions. What happens here is a kind of luminously clear discerning, free association of thoughts, mental images, memories, desires, fantasies, and emotions. You are plumbing the depths of your own mind, undistracted by external diversion. Once hidden phenomena are unmasked through the lack of suppression of whatever comes up. This is potentially extraordinarily deep kind of therapy, and the more intensively you practice it, the more important it is to proceed under the guidance of an experienced, compassionate teacher. During your meditation sessions, internalize the wisdom of this contemplative tradition, and make sure you implement the core instructions of this practice, which are: Whatever arises in the mind, do not be carried away by it, and do not grasp onto or identify with it. Just let it be. Watch thoughts, feelings, or other mental events arise. With discerning intelligence, be aware of their nature, and let them slip back into the space of awareness without any judgment or intervention on your part. This is the key to letting the knots of the psyche unravel themselves as the extraordinary healing capacity of the mind reveals itself. This is the path to deep sanity. Any questions about the practice?
Regarding the eyes, you said we just look some open eyes.
So you can either have them naturally open or you can have them slightly open, whichever you prefer.
Okay, and if we try to keep them slightly open, I've heard that it's good to look at the eyelid, to watch the eyelid. It's one of the methodics probably, but it's not probably the case.
I've never heard that. Sometimes you'll hear, and that's a little bit of a mistaken translation, actually. Sometimes in English texts, you'll see that with the eyes to look at the tip of your nose. If you've ever tried to look at your tip of your nose, you go cross-eyed and strain. It's actually a mistaken translation. What they mean is the line of the tip of the nose, which means to have your eyes in that line. It doesn't mean to look at the tip of your nose. So to look at your eyelashes again, I mean, I think that would be a little bit difficult. So again, it's just that line, to have that sort of slight downward line. But again, that's something that you can adjust a little bit. If you're the sort of person that easily gets very drowsy, then maybe you need to raise the gaze a little bit, even looking straight ahead. If you're the sort of person that gets easily agitated, maybe lower the gaze even more downward. So that's something you can adjust according to whether you're naturally more dull or more agitated. And also, again, you can have the eyes just naturally open or slightly open. I find slightly open, there's a sort of flickering effect and it sort of annoys me. So I just sort of have them naturally open. But that's something you can experiment with.
And the objects are blurred. Whatever is in front of you is kind of blurred.
Again, we're not trying to blur. Yeah? We're not trying to deliberately unfocus because that's straining the eyes. It's the example that was given before was it's like, sometimes, you know, in daily life, the eyes are open, but we're daydreaming. You know, we're caught up in some fantasy daydream like that. When we're doing that, we're not blurring our eyes deliberately. We're just, nothing's registering. I mean, the eyes are there gazing, but nothing's registering because you're so caught up in your daydream. Same here. We're not trying to deliberately blur, and we're not deliberately looking. We're just resting the gaze there. That's why as a beginner at home, it can be very helpful to have no movement, have it very plain so there's nothing to catch the attention. And for me, also, I like it quite dark. You know, so even if it's daytime, draw the curtains, turn the lights off, quite dark. Then there's nothing, because I'm the sort of person that easily gets agitated. So if there's too much light, then it's more agitation. So quite dark. But of course, if you're the sort of person that gets very drowsy very easily, I wouldn't recommend having a dark room. You're just going to fall asleep. Rather, maybe you need to have more light in the room. So that's something you can experiment with at home. Any other questions about the practice? Yeah.
I've sometimes noticed that my gaze is going slightly
to the right. What you can check is a little bit, again, the posture. Sometimes we're sort of, the posture's not balanced and we end up sort of leaning to one side, or maybe the head's sort of moving to one side. So just check that. And sometimes also we do this a little bit, like if we want to hear something, then we sort of, you know, do this. to try and listen. So again, just be aware of the posture, making sure that the head is still straight and it's not moving from one side to another. And again, if you have it quite dim or dark, then there's nothing to pull your gaze. So this is something that we'll need to probably get used to a little bit. But if you notice it going to the right, then just bring it back, and again, just notice the posture if it's not leaning the body or turning the head, that's all. Anything else anyone would like to bring up?
If you keep relaxing to a very deep extent, is that not this meditation comes naturally, or we need to do some effort? I mean, if we keep relaxing.
The body or the mind or both?
Body and mind.
Okay.
And we don't lose. So if we are not if we're not agitated.
Correct.
If we are not drowsy.
Yeah. Probably not. I mean, if you have a very relaxed body and mind, that's going to be helpful to be able to better do the meditation. But will the meditation naturally come? Probably not, because most of us have very strong instinctive habit. And for most of us, our strong instinctive habit is to do one of two things when something comes up in the mind. The most common thing we do is, as soon as something comes up in the mind, we latch onto it, we identify with it, and we follow it. That's our natural tendency. And also often our natural tendency is, if something comes up that's rather unpleasant, a thought, emotion, memory, our natural tendency often is just to stuff it back down, to suppress it. So even though we have a relaxed body and mind, which means maybe a more clear mind, a more stable mind, we still have that tendency. So we have to work to overcome that tendency of following or suppressing. But if we have a relaxed body and mind, you're going to find we have a good basis to begin to change that. And also you're going to find that, as Alan Wallace mentioned in the section just now, is that you're going to be able to at least see these mental events more clearly initially. Now, of course, if we're very agitated and distracted or dull, a lot of these mental events, they don't even register. It's a little bit like, you know, when we start focusing here at the nostrils, often at the beginning we don't notice anything here. But that's not because there's no sensations there, it's because we don't have a stable, clear mind. So same here, is that often in the beginning phase, the two most common experiences people have in this practice is, probably the most common, is they get swept away all the time. As soon as something comes up, gone. Because that's our strong habit, to always follow and entertain whatever is arising in our mind. Now, if that's the case, then there's a couple of things we can do. Of course, the normal thing, again, is when we notice that we've got pulled away, relax, let go of that grasping and come back and keep doing that. But sometimes then people get very sort of despondent that they can't even begin the practice because they can't watch anything. They're just swept away all the time. Then there's two things at least we can do. One is that we can, as mentioned earlier in the meditation, occasionally, every now and again, deliberately generate a thought. Because if we are deliberately generating a thought, we know it's coming, we're expecting it. Normally when something arises, it doesn't announce itself saying, "Here I come." It just pops up, and then before we know it, we're gone. Whereas if we generate it, we know it's coming, so then we have a chance to look to watch it. And then we have a chance to watch it arise and pass. And then we get some feeling of success. You know, I can do it a little bit. So then we don't get sort of completely despondent. Another thing we can do is, as I briefly mentioned, I think, in the meditation, is what can some people find helpful is to label the mental event, to give it a name. So if something comes up, give it a name like thought, memory, image, emotion. By giving it a name or a label, it becomes an object. And it's harder then to get caught up in it. It's easier then to watch it. So if you, some people find it another, just more mental difficulty, just like counting the breath. Some people find it helpful, others not. So if you find naming or labelling the mental event helpful, use it to give some space. And the other thing we can do to help getting swept away is we can slowly move into this practice, meaning we can begin by focusing on the breath, let's say at the abdomen. So we focus on the breath at the abdomen as the main object, and then a little bit in the corner of our mind, we're noticing what's going on in the mind, a little bit. And then slowly, we have less focus on the abdomen and more focus on what's going on in the mind. And then we get to the point where we're mainly looking at what's going on in the mind, but a little bit in the corner of our mind, we're focusing on the abdomen, because that sort of grounds us. It's like an anchor point. So then we can slowly move into the practice like that, anchoring ourselves in the breath. So that can also be useful. So that's the most common experience people have, get swept away. And that's some things we can do about that. The other very common experience we have as a beginner is that we sit down and look, and then all of a sudden there's nothing there. I mean, normally we have lots of thoughts, but when we sit down and look, there's nothing there. Now, usually that's not because suddenly our mind has become perfectly quiet and still. There are a couple of reasons for this as a beginner. One is the most common reason that happens as a beginner is we're too tense. Like in daily life, whenever we want to focus on something, we tense. So here, of course, we know if we don't focus intently, we're just going to get swept away. So we sit down and we... And of course, that tension is suffocating our mind. There's no space for anything to come up because we're suffocating the mind. So then if you notice there's no thoughts and at the same time you notice you're quite tense, then relax. Relax. And the other reason, of course, not much is coming up is because we're lacking clarity. Again, like here, as a beginner, often we focus here as a beginner and we don't notice anything. It's not because there's no sensations, it's because we don't have clarity. But as we patiently stay there and keep observing, and as our clarity improves, we start to pick up some sensations. Likewise, in this practice, you know, we have levels of the mind, and we have now we don't have much clarity, which means only very superficial mental activity we notice. Anything below that threshold, there's mental activity going on, but we don't notice it. So the more dull and distracted we are, the higher that's going to be. The more of our mental events are going to be below the level of our awareness. But as we become more stable and clear, this threshold moves down, which means a lot of this subtle mental activity, which is going on all the time that we don't notice, we're going to start to notice. So again, like here, just be patient. Stay there, calm and clear, and you will find slowly more and more mental events will become obvious. And then, of course, the other thing to do is, if there really is no mental events arising, is just observe that space, waiting for the next event to come up. So that's a little bit of advice on what to do. Any other questions? Otherwise, it's time for a morning tea break.
I'm relaxing. I'm trying to experience it. And then I feel that my shoulder muscles are
tight. That's tension.
Tension. And then I try to relax it. But how is the best way to relax the shoulder muscle? Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the clenched teeth, you know, often people who have a lot of tension grind their teeth even when they're sleeping, you know. So, again, the thing is here is that the mind is much more subtle than the sensations of the breath. So again, because it's more subtle and more difficult to focus on, then again, the more difficult something is to focus on, the more the tendency we have of tensing. So if we find that really this sort of tensing, what I would recommend is go back to the breath and go back to the abdomen. Don't go here. Go back to the abdomen and just relax, 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 and focus mainly here. And then when you notice that it's more relaxed, then a little bit start to notice in the corner of your mind thoughts, but still stay here. And then if you stay relaxed, then slowly start to be more focused on what's appearing in the mind than here. So slowly move there. But if you're moving there and then you fight the tension again, then move back. So then just stay here. Because there's no point in looking at the mind, even if you're noticing thoughts and you have a lot of tension. Because if you keep doing that, so maybe you notice tension, but somehow, oh yeah, but I can see some thoughts. Don't stay there, because you're going to develop a very bad habit of more and more tension, which is going to become more and more difficult to overcome. So even if you are observing thoughts well, but you notice like that tension, or if you're using the breath practice, often that same thing happens when people focus here. They can see lots of sensations, but then at the same time they notice a lot of tension across here. Don't keep doing that, because you're developing a very bad habit that's going to get more and more difficult to overcome. So whether it's focusing here with tension or looking at the mind with tension, then get out of there. Go back to the abdomen and just relax, 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 relax. And then once you notice you're more relaxed, then slowly move back to either here or looking at the mind. This is something very important, and I know from personal experience. Correct.
And observing is also a mental event, isn't it? It uses the same mind. So what we are doing here is mind observing mind. And I wonder if it does it mean it has to be simultaneously? Or is it like third register? But first, yeah. I'm like, I don't know if I'm feeling myself when I start believing, yeah.
Sure, exactly. That's exactly the truth. Even if we observe some physical object, you know, if we look at this pen, it seems like that's happening in real time. Technically, it's not, is it? And we know that from physics, because the light takes time to travel here, and then by the time we register and experience, what we actually experience is already gone. I mean, the time, of course, is very small. So experientially, it looks like we're experiencing things in real time. And to all intents and purposes, we are. But technically speaking, no. Similar with the mind, it seems like we're doing that in real time, but the same thing is the same process. And the same thing happens is you can only observe one thing at a time. You know, often we feel like, you know, I can see something, hear something, and think about something at the same time. Experientially, it may feel like that, but technically that's impossible.
So what does it mean to be drawn by thought? Like
drawn by thought, okay, and then we need a tea break. Okay, just a quick point, because this is important. Let's say we have a thought about a tree. We're thinking about a tree. Normally what we do when we have a thought about the tree, we engage in the tree. That's what we're focused on, isn't it? Normally. The tree.
Do you have an image or like a...
Well, it could be thought, it could be image, memory. I mean, all of those things about the tree, okay? Normally what we do is that what we're engaging in is the tree, whether it's a thought, a image, or memory. Yeah, that's what we're focusing on, isn't it? The tree. In this practice, we are focusing on this. We're focusing on the thought, the image, the memory. What it's about is sort of largely irrelevant. We're focusing on this mental event. So what that's the difference, is to focus on the thought versus focusing on what the thought is about. That's what we normally do. We focus on this and we get caught up in this. So this practice is to focus on this and not get caught up in this. That's the difference. Okay, we better take a break because we've run over time. And let's come back at 10:45.